I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And we are happy to welcome a band from the Twin Cities who it's been a few years since they've joined us, so fun to catch up with them. They are Fox and Coyote. They have a show tonight at Sound in downtown Duluth. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi there.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to have you. And we were just talking about Galen Lee is opening for you tonight, and she actually is going to be doing a kind of a reunion show with Dan Dresser in Duluth. They have a project that they haven't done in a while called The Get Around, so that'll be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how many times Galen has opened for you. I was listening back to your previous session here in 2015. I'm like, Galen Lee. So how did that come about that she's become such a regular opener for you?
Yeah. Galen has been just a great support person to have. I mean, just within the Minnesota music scene and up here in Duluth. But it happened because we played a show up here at the Red Star in 2015. And as we were asking around different groups, just wondering who could play with us, someone recommended Galen. And so we emailed her. And yeah, she replied back pretty quickly and said that she was down to play with us. At this point, I think this will be our fourth show with her, and sometimes we open for her and sometimes vice versa, but it's always great to share the stage with her.
Well, how nice, and how nice, you know, to see her have that success after you started working with her. Well-deserved.
Yeah, yes,
well-deserved.
Completely well-deserved. She's a beautiful songwriter.
Yes, and a beautiful person, in my opinion. well, I should introduce you, so Fox and Coyote. Actually, Ryan, do you want to do the honors? Ryan Evans is talking here, and he's on guitar. Do you want to introduce the rest of the band as well?
So we've got Catherine Cannon on cello and Grant Gordon on bass and Jonathan Jarms Harms on keys and banjo as well as lead vocals.
All right. And so some of it, how long has this particular configuration been working together?
I'd say it's probably been about a year and a half, 2 years possibly.
Whenever Grant joined the band.
What about the quartet though?
Yeah. Yeah, the quartet that we're playing with now, that's a little bit newer. We're growing in our sound. We're getting louder, and we kind of missed playing intimate venues. So we had the idea to build up a quartet set, and that's probably been within the past year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you have a drummer.
Yes. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We our sound has shifted quite a bit over the past. I mean, Jarms and I have been doing this together for 5 years with the group, 10 years just the two of us. So on our new record, it's a lot louder. And it has full drums on everything, and so we typically play with a full band with our drummer when we're playing Minneapolis shows. But when we play outside of the cities, we kind of look for those smaller rooms where you can get kind of the intimate vibe going on with the quartet.
Nice. And am I correct in saying that I saw the new album on your Facebook today.
Yeah. Yeah. Today marks the official release of everything.
And this is kind of the start of the CD release tour.
It is.
Or the album release tour, I should say.
Yeah. We've got 5 days booked for this album release tour. And we've been releasing singles. We had a video come out earlier this year. But for the whole record, it's today. It's this morning.
So basically, this show right here in the studio is the first CD release show, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yep. This is it.
Well, how exciting.
Yeah.
Well, let's get started with the tune, and then we'll come back and find out more. And again, that show is tonight at Sound, and it starts at 8:30 in downtown Duluth with Galen Lee and Dan Dresser as the Get Arounds. Mm-hmm. What do you want to start with?
Yeah, so this song is called White Spider. It's the third track on the new record, if anyone cares about that. On a twilight Saturday, I said hello to some old friends, then turned my attention back to you. You breathed in deep, asked if I want another drink. It's as if you knew the night was young. And praise to the god of neon lights, to the parents of the kids on stage playing music in the night. A spider crawled, white and translucent, as if it didn't exist at all. animate for us a rib cage, big enough for both our hearts, now connected in one support. Long into the night we stayed awake. The moon was our accomplice as the street light's glow she replaced. It was an early morning magic between us that day. I could feel it in my bones in what I wanted to say. And as the sun crested the horizon, we whispered our quiet goodbyes. No. A spider crawled, white and translucent, as if it didn't exist at all. And it made for us a rib cage, big enough for both our hearts, now connected in one support. In the early morning, you can make your like a spider crawling, and whatever the hell that means. But with the daylight comes its realities. Because with the daylight, it's all a metaphor to talk about. A spider crawled, white and translucent, as if it didn't exist at all. And it made for us a rib cage, big enough for both our hearts, now connected when once apart.
That's Fox and Coyote live from Studio A, and a tune called White Spider. Did you write that one, Ryan?
Yeah, yep, I wrote that one.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, so, I mean, that song, I think it's really a song about falling in love and also the anxieties that come with that. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And it's on the new album, and how long has it been since you had something out?
You know, it's been since May of 2015 when we released our last EP, and the last time we were here was around that same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like I was saying, our sound has grown a bit, and I think that song that we just played is very much so in line with some of the previous stuff that we've put out. It's quieter, it's acoustic, and the two next songs that we've got on the record, they're actually really loud. They're much more rocking than we're going to be playing them right now, but we've arranged them for a quartet.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have that flexibility that you can do either one. Well, and last time you were here, you were talking about how, although you use acoustic instruments, that you really like kind of not just like a traditional sound, but you kind of considered yourself almost indie rock too as well. That's kind of redundant. But so it kind of seems like maybe your sound, is it fair to say your sound is kind of moving more in that direction through the years?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I usually, whenever I'm describing our music, it tends to be as hard as rock possible with a banjo.
And whenever you say banjo, people are like, oh, you're a bluegrass band.
Right, right.
Right.
And it's like, well, it's there in the instrument, but in terms of the music making, it's much more of a heart of rock and lots of other influences that end up get brought to the band and filtered through and marinated in it, and it's hard to describe what that marinade is like except to listen to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm always interested when instruments are used in different ways than maybe they're traditionally known for.
Yeah.
And I think the banjo happens to be one of those instruments that gets a bad rap sometimes. Do you find that? Do you find that, Jonathan?
Oh, absolutely. And I find whenever I come to a new instrument, there's always a discovery process. And you can either discover by finding traditional ways that that instrument was made, or you can just sit yourself down with that instrument and just find all the pathways that you tend to discover. And each time there's new places that you might go or that you might be led to by people before you. And I think both are interesting to get to. I think that ways in which the banjo gets a bad rap is sometimes when it keeps getting played the same way over and over again. And so it's a matter of finding new inspiration in a piece of instrument, or in an instrument, whether it's from an old place or from a new place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally am a banjo fan, so I'm happy to hear a defense of the banjo. Steve Martin has referred to it as the happiest instrument, I think. I always find it kind of a melancholy instrument a little bit.
You know, I suppose
it depends on the tuning.
It does, and it depends on how you play it. I mean, you look at old country music like Hank Williams, and somebody just listening to it at first might say, oh, that's a happy-sounding tune, it's all in major. But when you start listening to it and start feeling it, you realize that's a much more melancholy place that he's coming from. So it just depends on how you play it and what the intent behind it is.
And what was your personal approach when you started playing? Did you start learning traditional styles, or did you approach it as, here's a new instrument that I'm going to play, I'm going to figure out how I want to play it?
Right. It ended up being a bit of both. I started initially just wanting to learn it myself and whatever I was going to discover from it. And in that process, there was a few artists newer artists that I liked playing it. And through that path, I ended up discovering much older artists, Roscoe Holcomb and some other Appalachian artists, and ended up finding my way back forwards in time and finding some Latin artists who were playing stringed instruments in similar ways. And so it ended up being a very roundabout way of learning the instrument.
Okay. All right. Well, just curious about that.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, using it in this more kind of indie rock sort of context, indie folk rock context. So there was it was a few years between projects. Any particular reason for that? Or did you just how long it took? And were you working, playing steadily in there in between? There's absolutely nothing wrong with taking 3 years to do an album. I think that a lot of times people do them more quickly than they should before they have good material ready. So it's not meant to be a criticism in any way. I'm just curious.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, yeah, our sound was shifting a lot, and we were trying to figure out what that sound was and how it all fit together. And I think on this record, we just embraced that it's coming from a lot of different places, and we're working with a good producer who could bring that all together. We also had some lineup changes. Our old drummer, who was actually here with us the last time we were here, he got married and is in grad school now, so he couldn't quite devote time to the band.
I think the previous one went on to be a lawyer, right? He was
right,
going to law school.
Exactly. Yeah, grad school, man. It just takes all of the drummers away.
Yeah, you need to find drummers with no aspirations.
Other than
musical ones.
That's it. No life outside of us.
But then a lot of those drummers are in 10 other bands at the same time. So.
Good point. So some lineup changes and kind of figuring out what you wanted to sound like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, too, the last record that we did was actually all of my songs. And that is kind of deviated from what the spirit of Fox and Coyote and how we first started, which was a songwriting duo between me and Jarms. And so I think when we were starting to record this record, I had a fair number of songs that, you know, I had written, but I wasn't totally happy with them. And on Jarms' side of things, he was kind of churning out some new stuff and wrestling more with those artistic ideas. So it took a little bit longer for us to build up enough songs between the two of us to build a record that we could say, yes, this is a Fox and Coyote record.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that Grant was kind of the most recent addition to the band. Mm-hmm. So did that change things too when you, you know, had a new person and had to learn the songs and
Yeah, I mean, for me, it changed stuff in the best way. Because as a quartet on my guitar, I was playing a lot of low end stuff, just kind of covering that. And like me and Catherine were kind of covering that between us. So if I was playing a lead part, then Catherine would be on the low end and vice versa. But bringing a bass in just meant that we could really free us up to do some melodic stuff.
It freed me up a bit to play less bass lines. I was doing a lot of bass line stuff on my cello before we had Grant come along. And so once we had the bass kind of covered, then now I've kind of been free to do more melodic stuff, more harmonies, more other stuff.
Yeah, what was it like for you to learn the songs coming into this then?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it was nice to find a sound where the bass line just kind of came naturally. I think a lot of these songs just are very sensibly written, and the bass part fit right in. And in a lot of places, the bass part was already covered in parts by the cello or by the guitar or by the banjo. So I was just able to fill in where I saw filling in needed to happen, and then freed everybody else up to do more interesting things.
And I love during that last song, you pulled out the bow. I always love when people bow the bass. And of course, with the cello, it's kind of you're in sync a little bit there. That's kind of
cool. It's been nice to have that flexibility to pull out more orchestral parts and places between the bass and the cello. And then in other places, just do like a classic bass plucking.
So what's your background musically?
I am a classically trained contrabassist, starting in high school-ish. I played in the orchestra in college. I started playing kind of in jazz and blues groups in college as well, just to kind of broaden my horizons. Bass has afforded a certain flexibility, which has been really nice, so I can go really wherever I want to musically, just as long as I have people there to support me. Mm-hmm. It's hard to have a bass on its own. But yeah, I think Fox and Coyote is the group I have been the longest member of, longest standing. It's the thing that I've done for the longest, besides from the accordion club in college.
The accordion club.
Yes. Yeah.
You gotta have priorities.
So accordion in case you ever decide that a song needs accordion, you can just say, "Hey."
Oh, I played the bass for accordion club.
Oh, you played the bass. Oh, darn it. Okay.
You got a one-track mind.
Got it. I just heard accordion club, and I got excited there for a second. What do you want to play next? Let's hear another tune, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit more.
Sure. Next up is one of my tunes, and this is called Blue Marble.
Oh, and there's a video for this one. I just watched it this morning.
There is, yes. It is not a video for everybody, but for anybody who watches it, I hope that you enjoy it and appreciate it.
It's kind of mesmerizing in a way, and I didn't have time to like really kind of figure out what we'll talk about it after. Why don't you play the tune and then we'll talk a little bit more.
I just want to say a huge shout out to Sarah Olander for directing and editing that video. But we'll play the song.
The little rock finally reached its mark. Blue planet draws it to its heart. Rockets air and ignites. I guess it makes a pretty light. Thank you.
Fox and Coyote live from Studio A, and a tune called Blue Marble from their new album. And I don't think we've said the name of the album. Scattered Shadows, right?
Yes, yeah, Scattered Shadows on a double bed.
Oh, on a double bed. Okay, I somehow missed that part. On a double bed. I'm going to write it down so I say it right. And Jonathan, you said you wrote that one. Tell me about the inspiration for that one and then the video.
It's hard to know what that song isn't about rather than what it is.
Is it about ants? Because there are a lot of ants in the video.
I've always thought it was about ants. I've always suspected.
I think that at its basis, it has a lot to do with causality and thinking about just about the way that the world works and whether there is whatever I end up saying ends up sounding too trite and contrived, but it just has to do with our relationship with fate and whether things happen in a predictable order or whether the world is just set up in cruel ways that are both beautiful and horrifying at the same time.
Were you a philosophy major, Jonathan?
Music education.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
You may as well be philosophy.
You see a lot of chaos in the classroom.
And the video is really interesting. And people, it's really what's the word that I want? It's I really enjoyed it. Is basically what I'm trying to say. And if people want to see that, I would imagine they can go to your website, which is foxandcoyote.com, right?
Yep, they can.
It's on YouTube as well.
On YouTube,
it's on the YouTube.
And you posted it on your Facebook page as well. So the Facebook page is also Fox and Coyote, and as well as the website foxandcoyote.com. So lots of places where they can find that and see for themselves. So where did you make this album? Anyone?
Yeah, we recorded it at a place in Minneapolis, a new studio, Sovereignty Recording. It's kind of a happenstance connection. I just went to an anniversary party for some of the friends of mine, and I didn't know very many people there. So the person I knew there just connected me with this person, Justin Muffet is his name, who owns the studio. And she's like, "You guys both know about music. You should talk." It was one of those kind of introductions. And he ended up giving me his business card. And then 6 months later, we actually sat down and talked with him. And everything he said about approaching music and approaching the construction of a record just really aligned with how we thought of that. So we signed on pretty immediately after talking with him and said, "Yep, we want to do it with you."
Well, that's so nice when you find somebody, and he was the producer, mm-hmm. When you find somebody that you kind of have that, because if you don't have that connection with them, then, you know, this is your art, and you really want to make sure that it turns out the way you want it to.
Yeah,
so it sounds
exactly.
Like he was a really, really good fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things did he bring to the project? Were there any, you know, anything that you didn't expect that he brought, any changes that he brought about that?
You know, I think just his general approach of just like, I mean, his technical knowledge is mm-hmm. just really deep. I think he was doing stuff that from a technical recording standpoint that we hadn't experienced before. You know, like setting up my guitar to record in stereo with two amps. Like, I just never would have even thought of doing that, and it just gives him a lot more flexibility with that sound and can give a much deeper sound. Can you think of anything, James, or anyone else?
One of the things that I noticed, and I didn't notice this until I read a review of our album that was posted, but was talking about the clarity of how everything was set up, and I think that it was one of Justin's strengths to simply he can lay out all of the parts of a track and lay them out simply enough so that you can hear each part and yet have them all work together into a song. And just make it fit really nicely together. And he has a really light touch that that just has a magic to it that makes it all fit together.
Yeah, he very much so excels at that. I mean, the first song we did with him ended up being a single because it didn't make it on the record, but he took one pass at mixing that, and it was just like two super small notes from us about raise this volume up a bit and do this, and then it was done. I mean, he just kind of knocked it out of the park, and that was consistent throughout the recording process.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So it sounds like it was a very positive experience, and mm-hmm. you're happy with the results.
Yeah,
and
as positive as recording an album can be. Yes.
What are the pitfalls of it, or what are the difficult parts of it?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's a record we've been thinking about for 3 years, so like it feels like a baby. It feels like, you know, like when it comes time to release it, or when you're finalizing it, it's like, oh, if we had like a little bit more time, we could go back and do all these things. But at some point, you just have to let go and accept this thing that you've created, and like kind of let go of that control a bit. I mean, we probably could have taken another. I mean, if I don't know, like we could have kept working on that thing for a long time, but we kind of set some deadlines for ourselves just to make sure that we put something out, type of thing.
Yeah. Well, and there's always that tipping point where you can overwork it. You know?
And it's, you know, then it sounds artificial and like a machine made it.
Yeah. You want to find that sweet spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So did you? You know, you said you'd been working on it for 3 years. Did you have a lot of these songs for a long time, or were some of them newer? When you went to the studio?
Ryan brought up before that he had a lot of songs coming into it that were already made, and that the last album that we had made had been primarily his stuff. And Ryan came to me and said, I want to make sure that this album is going to be split between the two of us. And I just tend to be a slower songwriter, and so a lot of my stuff tended to be made as we were practicing for the record, as we were some of the stuff, the ink, I swear, is still drying on those pages. And a part of that is that I've been coming to grips recently with dealing with anxiety and understanding how that affects music and the songwriting process. And for me, that just tends to mean that it takes a lot longer, and I tend to be a lot less sure of the final product. And I can't commend Ryan enough for just setting those deadlines and saying, like, we want to make sure that that this album encompasses both of our musics.
Well, that's great. Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here?
Yeah, this one is May 18. It's also on the record a bit more of a rockin' one. And yeah, we're excited to do it in this stripped down way.
All right.
One, two, three. May 17, 2014, I made a choice that I regretted. But if I could go back, I still would have said it. The moon shone that night, it shone so bright. I took it as a sign that I should take it back to my bedroom till the sun topped the moon. Now that we welcome in May 18. Watch the morning go through my swaying window from my bed. I saw the city waking up to you stood next to me and said, I've been wanting this for years, but there's something you ought to hear. Never thought that I'd be waking next to you in a twin bed in Minneapolis. Now that we welcome in May 18. Said, I ain't got the time, 'cause I got no commitments.
What?
Take some peace of mind from your ex-girlfriends.
What?
I ain't got the time, 'cause I got no commitments.
What?
Take some peace of mind from your ex-girlfriends. Said, I ain't got the time, 'cause I got no commitments. Take some peace of mind from your ex-girlfriend. Oh, but she could have had me wherever she wanted me. In a twin, in a four, in a car, in a boat, in San Francisco. Now that we love the May.
That is Fox and Coyote live from Studio A, and another one from their brand new album, Scattered Shadows on a Double Bed. Right? Did I get that right?
Yes. That's right.
And that's a fun one. I like that.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to go check out the version on the album.
Yeah, yeah, please do. It sounds a lot bigger. Bunch of guitar, bunch of drums, and also all these instruments, too.
You can find that, by the way. We've got it on our Bandcamp site. You can find it on Facebook. It's also on Spotify and iTunes.
Like Google Play, all those.
Man, it must be so hard as an artist to keep track of all the places that you need to have your music.
Yeah, it can be, but that's part of the game.
A lot of checklists.
Yeah. Catherine, I just have to commend you. I didn't notice until before this last song that you were wearing a pie shirt today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pie Day, guys.
Mm-hmm. Her shirt says, yep. And
there's any message we want you to come away from this session
that's
with.
That's the most important one.
Because, of course, the mathematical constant pi starts with 3.14, so it's celebrated on 314, and there might be one or two nerds in this room. So I'm just saying that right now. I might be one of them. I'm not sure. But, yes, I had to commend you on that shirt. Well, thank you so much, everybody. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
And, again, Fox and Coyote is playing tonight at Sound in downtown Duluth, and Galen Lee and Dan Dresser are opening as the Get Arounds. The whole shindig starts at 8:30. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Chris Harwood and Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.